Let me start with gratitude for the invitation to be here with you today. Thank you so much. And for this beautiful space that you all created, and my understanding is saved pieces and wood from other places and made it new. And also, I think there is a summer reunion happening here today of the choir, and we are graced with your beauty and the music that you shared. So thank you, too, for that wonderful opportunity. Small, capital S, embodies inherent spiritual paradox. It exudes a spiritual mandate to hold insignificant and vast in the same breath, minute and cosmic in the same moment. Wisdom tells me I am nothing. Love tells me I am everything. This was said by the 20th century Hindu guru Nisargadatta Maharaj, who taught non-dualism. Holding these things that we think might be opposites but are in fact not. Or again, from the 20th century, Carl Sagan, for small creatures such as we, the vastness is bearable only through love. And from the amazing jazz poet Thylias Moss, I want to be small, but not so small that I'm easy to miss, about the size of the thought of a bud before it opens and becomes a universe in which bees orbit like planets. Earlier in the reading from Rilke, we heard, I'm too small in the world and yet not small enough. And it makes me think of our own transcendentalist Ralph Waldo Emerson, who wrote about his experience in the woods. Standing on the bare ground, my head bathed by the blithe air and uplifted into infinite space, all mean egotism vanishes. I become transparent eyeball. I am nothing, I see all. The currents of universal being circulate through me. I am part and particle of God. We are typically taught, according to logic, that small and large, or their various synonyms, are opposites, that they fall into the realm of one or the other, perhaps even contradictions. It is not rational to say both small and large, and yet even that great advocate of reason, Emerson himself, sees no contradiction there. And this, from Serbia, be humble, for you are made of the earth, and be noble, for you are made of the stars. There it is again, our perfect imperfection. Mind and heart, not as opposing dualities, not even as complementary qualities, but of the same essential cloth, distinct and reinforcing, renewing, regenerating. And I do not want to paint an overly pretty picture. Small is not always good. There are unpleasant and even unredeemable connotations. Take puny, for instance, where we might rescue and reframe small, puny is unredeemable. Who wants to feel puny? That's the guy on the beach who gets sand kicked in his face, right? My friend Anne, who is now a hospital chaplain, full of deep compassion, sharp wit, and a righteous sense of justice, she used to be an immigration lawyer, seeking asylum for all sorts of people from all over the world. in desperate need of sanctuary. You might not be surprised that after decades of stories of torture and denial of application, she's a bit on the cynical side towards our nation's government. And not that long ago, she was describing to me room 405 in the federal building in Hartford, Connecticut. It used to be where immigration officials work, and there was a waiting room full to the gills with people, whole families, small children, made to arrive on time and made to wait interminable hours, yelled at when their kids ran around doing the things that kids do, made to feel puny, unworthy, insignificant. Though I am still a seminarian, up until this past May, for the past 2 years, I had the great fortune to serve as part of a co-ministry in a small rural church that was discerning its future, choosing rather than to close, to move away from its strictly Christian identity to a more fluid, we might say, UU one. And in this tiny rural town, it was a mix of both old-timers and new blood, long tradition, and a strong sense of creating a local culture that will help people adapt to new changes in our climate-constricted world. And a year and a half ago, one of my congregants died. He was 91, and he had worked for one of those big insurance companies back in the day. And in a conversation I had with his son said, they didn't treat him like a cog in a wheel. They treated him like he was part of the machine. And it's not like that anymore, but it was then. They treated him worthy, small and worthy. Worthy, but not arrogance, not self-importance. It's a connected sense of small, and it's a contextual sense of small. It's where I may be a small piece, a speck, a fragment, but I have a place. I may not yet know what it is, but I have one. And somehow, in that paradoxical way, the wide vastness of the cosmos gives me a greater sense, not of belittlement, but of belonging. I want to bring back Carl Sagan's voice. I quoted him earlier. I don't know if you remember a speech he gave about the pale blue dot. Some of you might be familiar with it. It's a picture taken in 1990 by the Voyager 1 space probe as it was leaving our solar system. And it's of Earth, but you can barely tell because it's 3.7 billion, can you hear his voice? Billion, light miles away. And from that perspective, Earth looks like a tiny mote of dust in a never-ending sunbeam. And this is what he said about that photo, reflecting on small. On that dot, everyone you have ever heard of, every human being who ever lived, lived out their lives. The aggregate of all our joys and sufferings, thousands of confident religions, and maybe some ambivalent one too, ideologies and economic doctrines, every hunter and forager, every hero and coward, every creator and destroyer of civilizations, every king and peasant, every young couple in love, every hopeful child, every mother and father, every inventor and explorer, every teacher of morals, every corrupt politician, every superstar, every supreme leader, every saint and sinner in the history of our species lived there on that mote of dust, suspended in a sunbeam. The Earth is a very small stage, he continued, in a vast cosmic arena. Think of the rivers of blood spilled by those generals and emperors so that in glory and triumph they could become momentary masters of that fraction of a dot. Think of the endless cruelties visited by the inhabitants of one corner of the dot, scarcely indistinguishable by inhabitants of some other corner of that dot. To my mind, there is perhaps no better demonstration of the folly of human conceit than this distant image of our tiny world. To me, he said, it underscores our responsibility to deal more kindly and compassionately with one another and to preserve and cherish that pale blue tot, the only home we've ever known. We have had a voice come forward who has taken his own place next to Carl Sagan's Neil deGrasse Tyson, and he was recently challenged about one of his presentations at the Hayden Planetarium. A psychologist came and said, I go to this and I come out and I feel small. This is bad. And this was deGrasse Tyson's response. I think if you walked in there with an ego that says, I'm large, I'm important, I'm significant, the show's gonna hurt. This information is going to hurt. And so I think he, that psychologist, he went in there with the wrong attitude. I claim that if you, this is deGrasse Tyson, I claim that if you went in there with no ego at all, and then you saw the grandeur of the universe, recognizing that our molecules are traceable to stars that exploded and spread these elements across the galaxy, then you would see the universe as something you participate in, as this great unfolding cosmic story. And I think that should make you feel large, not small. When we are able to connect with that sense of our smallness, when we know we are fragments of this vast greater wholeness, we can feel a deep fullness and perhaps even an essential emptiness that is not belittling but is belonging. It brings us face to face with the possibility of transcendence, of becoming small and vast at the very same time, which is just another way of saying there is no separation, not between us as stardust here and stardust out there, not between us and God or love eternal, ultimate source or deep spirit, whatever you name you give it, and not between us and this pulsing planet. There are times we need to be reminded of our capacity for this transcendence, a reminder that is sometimes nearly impossible to find in this coarse and cruel interactions that human beings sometimes visit upon one another, alienated as we can become from our source. Emerson himself wrote of finding such solace in nature. Some of us find it in the young faces of children, and some in the flurry of stars, always there, day or night, always there. So we look out to those heavens and look back to the whole of this planet, this cherished blue mote of dust, to find our compassion and kindness for one another, that sense of belonging that transforms our smallness into a mighty smallness, connected and ever a part of that which is greater than ourselves. Amen, and blessed be.